بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله تعالى we're continuing off from where we left off, ayah number 257 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of alladhina amanu, those who believe. So those who have iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their wali. A wali is a helper, a protector, a guardian. So who protects and guards and aids and helps those who believe? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and guard and help them? يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. He brings them out, he brings them out from the ظُلُمَات to the نُور. From the many darknesses into the one light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guardian, the protector, the helper of those who believe. And he takes them from the many darknesses into the one light. One of the things that's interesting in this ayah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was describing darkness, he made it multiple. He made it plural. Many darknesses, dhulumat. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was describing the light, Allah mentioned only one, nur. Not anwar, but what? Nur, one light. Why is that? Because the truth is one, not many. The haqq is one, not many. There's only one path to Jannah. There's only one path to paradise. There's only one truth. Al-haqq wahidun la yata'addad. Truth is one, there's not multiple. This is why we do not believe in perennialism or this idea that there are many paths to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God. There are many ways of salvation. No. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. The only true religion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whoever accepts other than Islam as a deen, as a way of life, Allah will not accept it from them. The only way to gain salvation, the only way to be saved, the only way to get to Jannah is through Islam. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is the willy of the believers. He takes them from the many different darknesses to the one true light, to the one light. Now, those darknesses can be what? It can be disbelief. It can be many, there's many types of disbelief. It could be idolatry. It could be atheism. It could be secularism. It could be not caring about religion whatsoever. It could be Christianity. It doesn't matter. They're all, everything that is not Islam is what? Is dhulumat. Similarly, the dhulumat can be referring to sin. The darknesses can be referring to a life of sin and desires. And Allah will take the believers from that, the true believers from that, to the light of guidance and obedience. Similarly, it could mean innovation. From the darknesses of innovations to the light of the sunnah. So there are many paths away from the truth, but there's only one path to the truth. May Allah make us among those that live on it and die upon it. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumat ila an-nur. Allah is the wali of the believers, and he takes them from the many darkness into the light. And what's the opposite of that? وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And those who rejected, those who disbelieved, those who did not follow Islam or the truth, أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ. Their supporters and their helpers are what? طَاغُوتُ. False deities. Idols. طَاغُوتُ is a general term to all that call upon the worship of themselves, right? So it could be, or all that are worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they are pleased with it. Taghut are all that are worshipped besides Allah while they are pleased with it. Why did they add the bit while they are pleased with it? Because who is worshipped besides Allah but is not pleased with it? Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, for an example. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاءُهُمُ طَاغُوتُ. So taghut, and the word taghut comes from the root word dughyan, which is, or tagha, which is to transgress. Those are their helpers and their supporters. So you have, in other words, two camps. Two camps. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Right? Those who believe, those who reject. Those who reject, who are the awliya, who are the supporters, who are the helpers? Tawaghit. Right? False deities. And Allah musta'ala, and false leaders. As for the believers, who is their wali? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you become a wali of Allah? How do you become a wali of Allah? A wali, so the word wali can mean protector, guardian, and helper. And when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of the believers, we mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector, the guardian, and the helper of the believers. But can you also be a wali? Can you also be a wali? Yes. What does it mean for you to be a wali? For you to be a wali means that you are someone that is extremely close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is two defining characteristics of the awliya, loosely translated as the saints, meaning people that are extremely close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devout, obedient worshippers. How do you become a wali? Allah says in Surah Yunus, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Indeed, the awliya of Allah, those are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They, Allah mentions, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. They will have no fear. They will have no fear for that which is upcoming, because they are guided, they are in light, they are with light, and they will go to Jannah. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Nor will they feel sadness for what came past, because Allah will shower them with mercy and forgiveness. So the awliya of Allah, they're not fearful for the future because they are from the people of Jannah. They're not fearful of the past or worried about the past because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them and show them mercy. Would we not all want to be among those, my brothers and sisters? Of course we would. Allah mentions only two things. Who are those awliya? They have no khawf and no huzn. Who are those awliya? They are alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Alladhina amanu, those of true faith, true belief. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they were people that are pious. Piety. Taqwa. Be pious and be a believer and you will be a wali. Now to be pious is easily said, but not easily what? Done. Piety is a journey we all need to be on. You try to be as pious as possible. And like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, piety can be summarized into four things. Fearing Allah, al-khawfu min al-jaleel, acting upon that which has been revealed, the Quran and the Sunnah, al-amal bi-tanzeel, to be pleased with whatever Allah has given you from this dunya, al-ridha bil-qaleel, wal-isti'dad li-yawm al-rahil, and to prepare yourself for the hereafter. Do those things, those four things. Fear Allah, follow the Quran and the Sunnah, and act upon it. Be pleased with the dunya that Allah gave you, and prepare yourself for the hereafter. You do those things, you are from the people of taqwa. If you are people from the taqwa and iman, you become a wali. If you are a wali, there's no khawf and no husn. May Allah make us among his awliya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, as for the disbelievers, their wali, their awliya, their protectors are at-taghut, the false deities and the false leaders. Shaitan is number one among the taghut. And what do the taghut do? يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. They take them away from the light towards the many darknesses. So what does the shaitan do? What do the objects of worship that besides Allah do? What do idols do? What do people that devote themselves to people other than Allah do? They take you away from the light towards what? Towards the many darknesses. Ulaika, those people. Which people? Those who rejected the truth, the disbelievers, as well as the taghut, all of them. أولئك, all of those, the leaders and the followers, أصحاب النار, are from the people of the fire. هم فيها خالدون, they will dwell in it and abide in it forever. May Allah protect us. Similarly, Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, إنكم, you, meaning the idol worshippers and the kuffar, إنكم وما تعبدون, and what you used to worship and who you used to worship, حصب جهنم, you're the fuel of the fire. You what? The fuel of the fire. The objects of their worship and the worshippers. Of course, this means those that were pleased with it. طيب, one more time. Allah waliyu alladhina amanu, Allah is the wali of the believers. يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور, He takes them from the many darknesses into the one true light, one truth. والذين كفروا, as for those who disbelieved and rejected the truth, أولياؤهم, their helpers and their aid and their leaders are الطاغوت. يخرجونهم من الظلمات من النور, they will take them from the light إلى الظلمات, to the many darknesses. أولئك, all of those people, the leaders and the followers, أصحاب النار, of the people of the fire, هم فيها خالدون, and they will be in there forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us three stories. Each of these three stories is an example of how Allah is the willy of the believers. When we said Allah is the willy of the believers, Allah protects the believers, Allah guards the believers, Allah helps the believers, among the way Allah guards and protects them is by strengthening their iman and their faith. Among the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them is when it comes to speaking the truth, when it comes to calling to Islam, when it comes to spreading the message of truth, Allah will aid them in saying the best statement possible or the best argument possible. And here is an example of Allah aiding Prophet Ibrahim in his debate with a tyrant king. Allah showing us that he is the wali of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in this regard. And this is the story that Allah mentioned about Prophet Ibrahim and a king. The king is not named. The king is not named. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ. Have you not seen? Have you not seen at the one who disputed, argued, debated with Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, فِي رَبِّهِ, about his Lord. أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Why were they discussing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Because Allah had given this particular man the kingdom. Allah made him a king, a powerful king. And that power got to him to the point where he started to believe that he was Al-Malik Al-Jabbar. He was the king. He was the one worthy of devotion and worship. To the point where he started claiming to be God. Prophet Ibrahim's whole life, if you look at it from the beginning as a child until his final days, from arguing with his father over who should be worshipped, to the destruction of the idols, to being thrown into the fire, to debating Namrud, to his whole journey until he builds the Kaaba, until he builds Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa was built by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. His whole journey to the sacrifice of Ismail and that test, all of that was Prophet Ibrahim's journey in teaching us and proving to himself that only Allah is worthy of worship. That was his whole life mission. The reason why Ibrahim is held in such high regard, to the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ibrahim, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. O Ibrahim, I will make you a leader to all of mankind. One of the beautiful things about Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is that all of the major religions in the world hold him in the highest regard. All of the major religions in the world hold Ibrahim what? In the highest regard. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeping the honor of Ibrahim intact forever. And this is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's whole life was about fighting and defeating any way of life that takes you away from Allah and getting everyone back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here he is debating a tyrant king. Now the king's name was not mentioned, but the scholars of tafsir say that his name was Namrud. And that he was the king of Babylon, which is in Iraq, I believe. Babel. Now this king, when he declared himself Lord and made people bow down to him, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam refused. And when he was asked, Prophet Ibrahim was asked, well, who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? If I'm not your Lord, who is your Lord? And Prophet Ibrahim says, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumit. My Lord is the one that gives life and causes death. My Lord is the one that gives life and causes death. Now what did Namrud say? Ana uhyi wa umit. I also give life and cause death. I also give life and cause death. How? The scholars of tafsir mention that he ordered two men that were both imprisoned and sentenced to death to be brought to him. Two men who were fated to be what? To be killed. And he said, "Ana uhyi wa umit." I also give life and I also take it. Here's an example. One of the men, he ordered his execution to be hastened and he was killed there and then. And the other man, he freed him and said, "You are free to go." He said, "Look, I gave that man life by freeing him and I caused this man to die." Now what Namrud did here is completely change the discussion. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was not talking about killing someone or freeing someone. He was talking about causing life and causing death. Only Allah can create life and only Allah can take life because he's the creator. Now, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam could have continued arguing with him about that particular point. Well, he didn't technically give that man life. You just let him go, but he was born many years ago and it was Allah that gave him life. It wasn't you. He could have continued arguing that point and it would have been a valid point. But sometimes wisdom dictates that you move on from a position if you can find a stronger position. Sometimes wisdom dictates that you don't continue on the same trajectory of discussion, but you change it. And that's what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did. When he said, "Ana uhyi wa umit," I also give life and I also take life, take it and cause death. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Qala Ibrahim," Ibrahim said, "Fa'inna Allah ya'ti bi-shamsi min al-mashriqi, fa'ati biha min al-maghrib." Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Verily Allah, my Lord Allah, causes the sun to rise from the east. Why don't you cause it to rise from the west? Why don't you cause it to rise from the west? Go on then. If you are truly the Lord that deserves worship, can a man do that?" He can't do that. Allah then said, "فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ." So the disbeliever was utterly defeated. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي قَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ." And Allah does not guide the ظالمون, the wrongdoers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the transgressors. And clearly that man was a transgressor. Now the story of Namrud, you can find a lot more detail about him. When was he? Who was he? Some of the scholars say that he was a few generations after Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and that he was the king, he was stationed in Babylon. And there's a lot of things that is mentioned about him. But the point is, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only told us this bit. In fact, Allah did not even tell us his name. Why? Because if his name is not important, the lesson is important. And you'll find it a lot in the Quran. Many stories in Surah Al-Baqarah that we covered, the details are not said. It happened in this city, and it was this man, and this was his name. Because the Quran, it is not necessarily about the individuals, more so than it is about the morals and the lessons. And the lesson here was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aiding and guiding Ibrahim in defeating this man verbally with discussion and using a strong argument. And this is after Allah told us that Allah is the wali of the believers. So a way among the ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of the believers is by guiding them to say the right thing in the right time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us another story. And this story is a very powerful story. And this is, I believe, the fourth story of resurrection we have come across in Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, there are five stories where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us His power of resurrection. And we believe Allah can resurrect and will resurrect all of mankind on the Day of Judgment. The first story was the story of the man of Banu Israel. His nephew killed him in the hope of the inheritance. The story about the Baqarah, where they keep on coming to Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to find out who's the killer, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to find a cow and slaughter it, and they kept on being very specific about the cow until they found the particular cow, and then they slaughtered it, and a piece of its meat was hit with the dead man, and he woke up and pointed at his killer. Allah showed there his ability, and he's able to do all things of resurrecting the dead. That's the first time. The second story was the story of the man, Surah Al-Baqarah, and then we had the many men, أَلَمْ تَرَ الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Those that fled from their town fearful of death, فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُ. Then Allah told them to die, ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ, and then He resurrected them. So we mentioned that in previous lessons, that story of a whole town of people that fled, and there was different views on what they fled from, but then they were fearful of death, but Allah caused them to die and then brought them back to life. Then there was the story of the Banu Israel that disobeyed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to die and then resurrected them. So the Banu Israel that disobeyed Musa, and then you had the ones about the thousands that fled and then fleeing death, but Allah caused them to die anyway and then resurrected them. And then you have this story of this particular man. And then one more story is the story of the birds and Prophet Ibrahim, which we will cover next week, inshallah ta'ala. So who was this man and what happened to him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Afwan, we cover this ayah. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَى قَرْيَةٍ. And have you not seen or heard about the man, الَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَى قَرْيَةٍ, that passed by a town. He was walking, traveling, and he passed by a town. وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا, and it had this town was abandoned, was deserted, to the point where even the houses had tumbled over its roofs. So this is a place, some of the ulama of Tafsir say, a massacre took place, and many people died, and it was bones, and it was abandoned. It screamed death all over. And this particular man is traveling through this, and he sees all this death. He sees this place that's abandoned. He sees this place that's forsaken. He sees these people that have died. He sees these bones. And he wonders to himself, or says to himself, أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعَدَ مَوْتِهَا. Oh, and how will Allah bring this to life after his death? Now, that question, was it a question of being doubtful of Allah's ability to resurrect, or was it set in amazement? In amazement, right? Not necessarily in what? In disbelief. And that's very important to distinguish. I want you to keep that in mind. Then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ. This man was traveling through this town, this deserted town, and he could see death and destruction all around it. And then he wondered, how is Allah going to bring this back? فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah caused him to die. For how long? 100 years. 100 years. So 100 years, he laid deceased. ثُمَّ بَعَثَهُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrected him. And then he was asked. Who asked him? Some of the scholars of Tafsir say it was an angel. Some say it was a prophet. Some say it was a traveler. Some say it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself that communicated to him. And it was said to him, Kam labist? How long do you think you remain dead? And he said, Yawman aw ba'd yawm. Perhaps a full day or a part of a day. And the reason he said this is that he was traveling in the morning and Allah caused him to die. And when Allah resurrected him, it was towards the end of the day. So for all he knows, it's the same day. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Then he was said, perhaps a day or half a day. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ لَمْ يَتَسَنَّهِ. Now look at your food and look at your drink. They show no change. So his food and his water and whatever he has with them did not change for 100 years. Now, of course, normally, if you have food with you, forget years, in weeks it will go rotten. In a few months, it will just disappear, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved that for 100 years. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ. Now look at your donkey. His donkey didn't. His mule or his donkey or his ride, his himar, it died, it disappeared, it became bones until there was nothing left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved his food and drink, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused his animal to what? Wither away and disappear. There is a hikmah and wisdom in this, which is that the withering away of something and the remaining of something is in whose hands? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wanted to, everything will stay exactly the same it was. If Allah chooses to, everything will disappear. The power lays in the hands of Allah the Almighty. Then he was told, وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ. Now look at your donkey, and thus we have made you, this man, a sign for the people. A story that will always be told. His experience. وَانْظُرْ Look, إِلَىٰ الْعِظَامِ At the bones. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ الْعِظَامِ Look at the bones. كَيْفَ نُنْشِزُهَا How we gather them together. There's two qira'at here. There's a qira'at that says, كَيْفَ نُنْشِرُهَا أو نَنْشُرُهَا How we resurrect it from the nushur. What do we say every morning? الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعد مماتنا وإليه نشور. So there's a qira'at that says, نُنْشُرُهَا How we bring it back. Look at this bone. So he was actually observing the bones. Or in this qira'ah, كَيْفَ نُنْشِزُهَا How we literally layer it on top of each other. How we literally what? Layer it on top of each other. So he was seeing the bones reform of the animal. ثُمَّ نَكْسُوهَا لَحْمًا And then we clothe with it or cover with it flesh. So literally he observed his own eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing back his donkey with its bones coming back to life and the flesh and the skin, everything, until it was brought back to life. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ And when this was clearly shown to him, قَالَ, he said, أَعْلَمُ Now I know for certain, with more yaqeen, أَنَّ اللَّهَ that indeed Allah عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ is able to do all things. So, a few points to consider here. One of them is, who was this man? Now, earlier I just said that the fact that Allah did not show importance to who it was means it's not a priority. But the fact of the matter is that the ulama of tafsir, many of the sahaba and the salaf all commented on who this man was. And there are several views on who it was. The first view, which is narrated from some of the tabi'een, and there's a riwayah of Abdullah ibn Abbas, is that this man was Uzair. Uzair. Considered one of the righteous men of Bani Israel. Some consider him to be a prophet. Uzair. And it was him that was walking. And if it is Uzair, then we conclude that the statement أَنَّا يُحْيَى هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا, how will Allah bring this back, was not one of denial or disbelief, but bewilderment and amazement. Bewilderment and amazement. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to die and then resurrected him. Some of the ulama said, no, this is a prophet called Jeremiah. Jeremiah or Jeremiah, as it would be in English. And who was a prophet of Bani Israel. Some of the ulama said it was actually Khadir. It was what? Khadir. There's very many opinions. Tahir ibn Ashur, a great Tunisian scholar of tafsir that lived not too long ago, he held the view that the stronger view is that it was Ezekiel. And Allah knows best. In any case, it doesn't really, whoever it was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his great power and qudrah by causing him to die for so many years and then resurrecting him. And the resurrection is something that Allah speaks about the Quran often. And there are many stories of people Allah caused to die and brought them back to life. Who can tell me a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a prophet whom Allah gave the ability with his permission, with Allah's permission, to bring back the dead? Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And this was something that was observed by Prophet Isa's companions and his disciples. They observed this. There is also a story in the Quran about a group of people that were asleep, if you will, for hundreds of years. And who were those? Surah Al-Kahf, Ashab Al-Kahf, Jazakum Allah Khair. So this is not an uncommon thing. But when we hear those stories, they seem to be something that's very far away from us, something that is miraculous, something that is... But there is a bringing back of the dead. There is a resurrection that we see every year. Who can tell me what I'm referring to? And Allah mentions in the Quran as an example. There is a resurrection. Plants, jazakallah khair. The seasons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused a whole land, a whole area to become barren and to die. The trees are dead and brittle and there's no vegetation. There's nothing there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings forth rain and it grows in the spring. And Allah in the Quran used that as an example. The one who causes the earth to come back to life after it died, is he not able to cause bring back to life mankind when they pass away? And that is yes. That's a yes. We literally see, subhanAllah. This is why, my brothers and sisters, it is important that when we look into the world and we observe with ibrah, that we look at it with ibrah, subhanAllah. Like, we experience, because the thing is, you read the story and you see this man traveling, all of a sudden Allah caused him to die. And the interesting stories that are mentioned by some of the ulama of tafsir, including, for example, that he was 50 years old when he passed away. And when he was resurrected, technically, how old would he be? 100 and what? 150. And that he came back and no one recognized him. And that he came back and his son was 50 years older than him. His son was 50 years older than him in his hundreds. Now, in any case, this is a very miraculous story, no doubt about it. But if you take a seed and you put it into the earth and you water it and you see it grow, you're not making it grow. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's work. And then you see it grow and it bears fruit, right? That little seed now is bearing so many fruits. Who's caused this to happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we need to... Or it's winter, and the same tree in front of your house in the winter, there's no leaves, they all fall down, and it looks barren, it looks dead. In the summer, it's green and lush and beautiful. Who's calling this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, mothers giving birth, and all of this life, who's causing it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A couple will be married for 15 years and Allah will not give them children. And then another couple gets married and Allah will give them children the first year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that causes life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that causes death. And this is just an example, but there are plenty of examples for us to observe in our own life that should cause us to realize what this man realized. أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. I know Allah is able to do all things. Now, there's another qira'ah that's إِعْلَمْ. إِعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Know and have certainty and knowledge that Allah is able to do all things. And the question then becomes, when it's إِعْلَمْ, who said it? Because when we read it as it is now in the Mus'haf, in this qira'ah, it's this man himself coming to the realization, أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. After that experience, I know for certain that Allah is able to do all things. Now, this doesn't again mean that he was doubtful necessarily. Because inshallah ta'ala, next week when we talk about the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, and Prophet Ibrahim asks Allah a question, أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Oh Allah, show me how you bring the dead back to life. Who's asking this question? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. What does Allah say to him? أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِن. Do you not believe? Do you not believe? What does Ibrahim say? بَلَى يَا اللَّهِ. Yes, of course I believe. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. But so that my heart becomes more firm and tranquil with this belief, to be stronger in his faith. So sometimes your iman can increase. So with the case of this man who was dead for 100 years and Allah brought him back to life, when he says, أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, I know that Allah is able to do all things, we shouldn't be saying, did you not know that before? Because of course he knew that before, but this is an example of someone seeing or experiencing the qudra and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firsthand. If you read the qira'ah, I'alam, have knowledge and know that Allah is able to do all things, then it would be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to him after his initial question, where there was a question of amazement and bewilderment. How will Allah bring the city back to life? How will Allah bring this back to life? Well, here you have it. Allah caused him to die for 100 years and brought him back to life and saw how his mule, how his donkey came back to life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'alam, and Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Know that Allah is able to do all things. The moral, my brothers and sisters, is whenever resurrection is being discussed, is to reflect over the fact that we will be resurrected. We will be resurrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are resurrected, it will be just us and our deeds. And that we strive and we put the work in as it relates to our ibadah. And we constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. And that we hasten in repentance. For one day, we will definitely die. And one day, we will definitely be resurrected. And when we are resurrected, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those that will receive their books by their right hand, receive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, will enter into Jannah without hisab, and will be saved from the difficulties of the day of judgment. Ameen. Well, inshallah ta'ala, continue the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and the conversation he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the power of Allah in bringing back the dead. And then we'll continue on from there, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum hadha wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.